Second and last public comment period, and you're free to comment on any element of the plan you like. We have been talking about conservation today. I would kind of like to stay on that subject first, so if someone wants to speak on the conservation element, I see we have a friend from the Department of Agriculture with us today, and perhaps you would like to go first.
Thank you.
Since we know you're on the payroll, we don't want to waste a whole lot of your time.
That's right. That's
we
right.
Get you in and out.
Very high payroll it is. So, thank you. I'm Austin Short. I'm a Deputy Secretary of Agriculture here in Delaware. And my family and I also own a farm southwest of Georgetown, between Georgetown and Laurel. So thank you for the opportunity to comment today. I just want to run through a few statistics, if you will, about Delaware Ag, and then I'll wrap up with a few recommendations, but I'll try to keep it brief.
Great, thanks.
I'm sure, as you all know, agriculture is a leading industry in the state. It's about an $8 billion, with a B, industry in Delaware with about 30,000 jobs. Sussex County represents over half of that, about $4 billion in industry and about 15,000 jobs. So obviously it's very important to our entire state's economy when it comes to agriculture. We have about 500,000 acres of farms in Delaware, and Sussex County has over half of that, with about 270,000 acres. And these are family farms. We often hear about corporate farms, what have you, but 99% of Delaware's farms are family owned by people like you and me. And there's roughly 2,500 farms in Delaware, and about 1,200 of those are in Sussex. So again, about half. Irrigation, a big component of our industry in ag. There's about 125,000 acres, or over 125,000 acres now irrigated in Delaware. Over 90,000 of that is in Sussex. So I just want to paint a picture of how important ag is statewide, and particularly in Sussex County. And I don't want to forget about forestry either. Those of you who know my background, I'm a forester by trade, even though I'm now a deputy secretary, but forestry is still dear and dear to my heart. Just under 400,000 acres of forests in Delaware, about 220,000 acres of those are in Sussex County, and about 80% are privately owned, again, by people like you and me. And Delaware is a leader in ag, so we just don't have a lot of it. We're also a leader, if you will, in agriculture. As you all know, Sussex County is a leading broiler production county in the country. Sussex County also ranks in the top 2% in vegetable production, in the value of vegetable production. If you look at Delaware as a whole, we're second in the nation in the value of ag production per farm, with over $500,000 per year on average generating ag sales. Sussex is over 700,000. Now, much of that is poultry, but certainly it's still a number that's very important. And if you look at the value per acre, Delaware is number one in the nation in value per acre of ag production, just over $2,500 per acre. And Sussex is over $3,300 an acre. So again, poultry represents 75% of this. So ag is very important in Delaware, and obviously we encourage and hope the county, as you move forward, will consider this as you make your recommendations. Preserve land. We've talked about land. I've heard you talk about land preservation here. From a state standpoint, we preserve 335 farms through the Ag Lands Preservation Program in Sussex, totaling just under 44,000 acres, or about 16% of the county's farmland. We have another 175 farms signed up, waiting to be preserved, totaling over 23,000 acres in Sussex. And just as a reminder, Sussex has provided funding in the past to the state's Farmland Preservation Program. Between 2003 and 2009, Sussex provided $3.1 million for farmland preservation to the state's program. And with that money, the county got to choose which of the farms that it signed up were used for that funding. And those funds helped to purchase 27 easements out of the total that are in Sussex County, totaling about $11 million in total purchase. So the county put just over $3 million. The total purchase price was $11 million. So with that background, here's what, as again, from the Department of Agriculture, we hope you will consider as you move forward. I think a lofty goal, obviously, is to make sure agriculture remains viable and profitable for generations to come. Agriculture provides jobs, again, over 15,000 jobs in this county now. revised tax revenue. Quite frankly, it requires very little public service. For every dollar put in property tax, it uses less than a dollar in services. And it provides many other benefits as well, as I'm sure you've heard earlier. Open space, scenic value, wildlife habitat, etc. We hope you will maintain and encourage the diverse agricultural industry we have in this county, including forestry, such as poultry, obviously, the granaries, the vegetable processors, fertilizer and ag sales, etc., irrigation sales. Hope to encourage on-farm diversification through such things as agritourism and on-farm markets. Like any industry, diversification is very important. We also hope you will look at the forest industry. It has suffered, again, near and dear to my heart, it's suffered dearly since 2008, and it's not yet fully recovered and faces many challenges, some of which are local, some of which are much larger scale than local. But as you move forward, please concern the importance of forestry as well, because again, there's over 200,000 acres of forests out there, and if landowners can't make a profit on those forests, they may soon become some other land use. We would hope that you, again, when you talk about economic development, you'll consider agriculture. I think many times when people think about economic development, they don't think about agriculture. They think about cars or computers or what have you, but ag is an industry as well. We need to maintain a sufficient land base to make sure farming continues in the future so that it's profitable and can support the poultry industry and the other industries here. And then we hope you will consider as you move forward ways to permanently protect farmland and work in concert where possible with the state's farmland preservation program. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay, who's next? Okay, you, and then ma'am, you in the green. Go ahead, come on.
Hi, how are you? I'm Melissa Golden. I just wanted to thank you for your time today. It's been really, really enjoyable and informative, and I really wanted to get to you, Mr. Ross. I really liked your comments because I'm at the opposite end. I have duck swimming under our condo, and when I went to the Army Corps of Engineers and DENREC, they told me I was not wetlands. So you have dirt that they're telling you is wetlands. I have marsh and actually standing water that they're telling me is not wetlands. So I really appreciate your comment. I'm going to go back
and
get
trade.
I'm going to get a bag of water from underneath my condo, and I think I'm going to go in there and say, yes, you can tell me about floodplain ordinances, and you can tell me about wetlands.
Or you can use my wetland delineation.
Yeah, let's switch a little bit. Yeah, so I really appreciated your comment, and I think the diversity of the western and the eastern is well taken care of. So Delaware does have the lowest mean elevation of any state. I think we learned today that it's not just waves crashing in and on the coastline, but it's throughout the state. So I really appreciate the incorporation of the hazard mitigation plan, which is something that has to be viable and integrated. There's tons of information, really, really intelligent people that were involved in that public input, and I'm just glad to see that's incorporated and not just gathering dust, because it's really talks about population change. So are we really increasing the hazards by putting people in flood-prone areas? One of the things I saw, one of the goals you had was direct growth away from environmentally sensitive areas. I'd like to you include something about direct growth away from flood zones. And really incorporate the other word I'd like to think about today. The big takeaway for me was maps. I wanted to keep a tally of how many maps I heard about today, and overlaying this map and this map and this map and this map, and you know. But I understand that Delaware has not updated its wetlands maps, the Army Corps of Engineers, in many, many years. So maybe that's something we could advocate for. Like, what really is wetlands? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. They haven't been done. They haven't been done for like years. So maybe that's something work with. I don't see anything today about working with the state of Delaware and advocating that, you know, what are the wetlands? You know, they're telling you you have wetlands. They're telling me I don't have wetlands. So really, really, and so much has changed since Sandy. I don't think we realized what the devastation was to this county in terms of topography. Areas that were freshwater are now saltwater. Wells failed, things like that. Really taking a look at what happened after Sandy and the changes in our topography and what we can learn from that. So again, directing growth away. And what can we do with the places that are there still? Stormwater's been dumped. Okay, we have you elevated here. What about the older developments that are becoming swamps, that are becoming like soup bowls? Is anybody studying that? You know, what can we do to mitigate these older developments that need to get out of? And I don't see that in the plan anywhere, because there was no stormwater management. So all these places, these new places, are just dumped. So those are just some takeaways, maps, overlaying the maps, working with the state to upgrade the maps. And I just wanted to leave you with kind of a visual, okay? Before Sandy, unincorporated Sussex, 7-foot floodplain, base flood elevation, okay? We were devastated, substantially damaged. I have no certificate of occupancy. 24 of us have no certificate of occupancies. 5 years after, will be after Sandy, October 29th, 2012. We cannot legally habitat our houses. Yeah, I need that to sink in. So 7 feet, all right, Sandy. So we have Sandy. What happens? FEMA drops it to 4 feet. Now, Sussex County had the opportunity to do a mandatory freeboard. They declined to do that. So now we have sea level rising, we have devastation from Sandy, and we used to have 7 feet, now we have 4 feet. And we're telling new developments, just fill in. They're filling up to 4 feet.
We're not telling any new developments just to fill in.
Well, that's what they're saying.
I don't know who's saying that.
I just have one right next to us. So they elevated to 4 feet. We're down here. Okay, there's no stormwater plan. They elevated 54. So all of the developments on there are like I said, it's like creating soup bowls. So I just wanted to leave you that visual of, you know, high, low, seawater rising, lowering the floodplain. Like, there's, like you said, stupid on our foreheads. That doesn't make a lot of sense. So just something to think about. Appreciate your comments. Appreciate really considering the hazard mitigation plan. So a lot of important information. So thanks for your time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name's Lisa Locke, and I'm a full-time resident in Rehoboth. Fairly recent, I must admit, from Michigan. But I'm also the executive director of Delaware Interfaith Power and Light. We're one of 40 state affiliates, representing 20,000 congregations around the country. And our shared mission is a religious response to climate change. So that is the context that I've been listening to this conversation, which has been so thoughtful. I've really appreciated listening to you all today. So two things that surfaced for me, there was so much going on, but one was to broaden our understanding of what defines or constitutes quality, what constitutes healthy waterways, systems, and environment ecosystems, as opposed to healthy. And the example that came to my mind was listening about healthy water, our healthy water systems, or quality. I'm sorry, I'm getting confused here. Water quality, I think it's really important. It may seem subtle, but I think it's an important distinction about the health of the water systems. You know, we might be able to be drinking healthy water, but what is the actual health of the systems in our area? As far as the life that is in those systems, which contributes to the greater health of our ecosystems. So health and quality, I think, is an important distinction for us to keep in mind. And also, of course, the other thing is looking at climate change. And we would encourage, that any of the conversations that go on for the cities and the counties, whatever aspect we're addressing, is going to include a consideration of climate change, what the implications are, what the impacts are, what the strategies are, what the opportunities are. And especially when you consider all the different areas that they're impacting, whether it's the ecosystem health, human health, natural beauty, air, soil, water quality, migratory patterns, growing seasons, tourism, property values, recreation, commerce, industry, energy, infrastructure. All of these things are currently being impacted by climate change, and that's just going to continue. So I think it's a big topic to take up. We call it a wicked problem, so to speak. But it's something that the more that we can entertain this now and be open to it, to be exploring it together, because we have so much creativity and information that's coming in all the time that we can use to inform the decisions that we're making along the way, that we know are going to have such big impacts, and especially on our children and our children's children, and now's the time to be thinking about it. So I was so glad to see at the end that there was a mention of the climate action. You probably heard our governor has signed on to a U.S. climate action, climate alliance now, as has the mayor of Lewis. We have a climate framework for the state of Delaware. We have a division of climate and energy. We had a wonderful forum at Epworth Church a couple weeks ago where we had a panel discussion with representatives from science, faith, farming, policy, and government, all together sharing their observations on how climate change is affecting our communities. And it was a wonderful opportunity. The audience was able to voice their concerns, their observations, and it was a wonderful time for us to come together. So I hope that we can continue that, and I hope that you will continue that in your conversations as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to speak? Yes, sir.
Hello again, Lou Podolsky. Just a couple things. First, you're talking about having another draft that you folks are going to look at. When is the public going to be able to see this and comment on it? I think the sooner you get that kind of feedback, too, before you get further in the drafting process, the more valuable our input might be. So when do you think that would be? Or is there a plan for it?
Yeah.
Typically, once a draft is... there's a consensus by the Planning Commission, then it goes on the comp plan website, and then the public is free to comment. Currently, the historic preservation chapter is up there. So again, once there's consensus from the Planning Commission, then it goes on to the website for consideration.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. Then. Thank you.
And the other thing just to clarify, too, because this has come up several times, there's going to be at least one, probably more than that, public hearings just of the commission, not even doing council. On the whole plan and draft, mm-hmm. so that the public will be able to comment on the entire document as well as the individual elements. So there'll still be lots of time for public to deal with item by item or the whole plan. So
okay, yeah. And then the other thing I just wanted to kind of repeat is, as we're all well aware, the inland bays and the tributaries are still very polluted, even though we've made great progress on getting the sole point of pollution out of the inland bays, and so most of the communities now have their waste treatment outflow going elsewhere, and soon Rehoboth, I guess, now the final decision is in, so they'll be going out into the ocean, leaving only the old Vlasic pickle plant site as the last remaining point source that has to be dealt with. Given that, we still have large pollution concerns. I know there's a lot of discussion back and forth of all the things you have to consider. We fully appreciate that. But we still obviously have problems, and those problems have to be run off, whether it's from development, whether it's from agriculture, whether it's from homes. So we still need to have significant efforts taken to address that and to try to get our waterways back to where everybody can safely use them, fish in them, swim in them, and enjoy them. And it's a big part of the draw to Sussex County. So we just ask you as much as possible to keep that in mind, that we still have significant pollution problems in the inland bays and their tributaries, even though we've made great progress in getting rid of the municipal pollution dump into those bodies. There still is a significant runoff issue to address, and we definitely thank you for all your attention and all your work in this area, and we look forward to seeing the draft of both this section and the plan and having a chance to comment on it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wish to speak this afternoon? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Charles Garlow. My wife and I are volunteer co-chairs of the Citizens Climate Lobby of Lower Delaware, and we are supportive of the concept of putting a price on carbon in order to reduce our carbon pollution to address the concerns of global warming. Thank you for opening this opportunity for us to address you and make recommendations on the comprehensive plan. We would love to see a comprehensive plan that took more account of climate action, climate preparedness, whether that involves more bicycle lanes, more zero pollution transportation options for citizens of Sussex County. We'd like to see more trees planted wherever possible to provide greater shading. Along Route 1, for example, there are hardly any trees. That would provide cooling effect for areas that might normally become a heat island. If you've got black asphalt parking lots, black absorbs the sun's energy, makes a lot of heat. And if we could provide shading, that wouldn't make that sort of a heat island, make it even hotter and more insufferable in the increasingly hot temperatures that we in this area and around the nation, around the world, are facing now and will be facing more in the future. We would like to see more efforts to prevent the sorts of impacts on real estate that would be happening with sea level rise. For example, I see in the papers, buy these lovely homes that are right at the water's edge. How wonderful can it be? And I think to myself, the rest of us taxpayers are going to be paying for the mitigation or the damages done to those homes as we're going to have more and more sea level rise that will impact upon flooding of those homes, I'm convinced. And so there will be an effort probably to create seawalls to hold back the sea. That will be much more expensive than if we had planned now for the future by suggesting that there you can't build in those areas that are that close to the flood level, flood zone areas. If we had mangroves and other sorts of natural protections in those areas, that's going to be a lot cheaper than having seawalls built there, according to the studies that I've seen. I'm sorry I wasn't here earlier to hear the comments of other speakers, like Lisa Locke, who I would like to say amen to whatever she said, because I'm sure she's right. And whatever Sue Clare Harbor from the League of Women Voters said, I'm sure that that's wonderful commentary, too, to which we say, I'll second that emotion. Thank you very kindly for hearing me.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak today? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my friend and I, Bear Daly, myself, Anna von Lindenberg, are residents of Southern Sussex County. We've both been involved in the Derrickson Creek watershed and with the Inland Bays organization. I'm the volunteer team lead for the Your Creek Project through the Inland Bays organization. She got me into it. We've both been working very hard as volunteers, and it's like herding cats. You need the legislation,
you
don't
sit
you?
Up here.
We are working as volunteers with only the power of our own bodies and cajoling other people. I felt as though I wanted to avoid legislation. It was always harder with a longer term thing to do, more involved. But you hear crickets a lot. And I want to impress upon you all what a critical time this is for all of us and how important it is for me to be here talking to you right now. I've been volunteering for 4 years and Bo for a little longer. And we need to extend our reach. And I've learned that you need to get behind a powerful organization such as yourself. You're not looking ahead 10 years, you're looking beyond that. What you're doing now is going to impact much longer than that. What we're doing now, we're not doing for ourselves, we're doing it for the next generations that follow behind us. They're getting ready to have the release of the State of Derrickson Creek report. And there are two critical areas that they have been monitoring that they have long-term data for, and the data looks like this from year to year. So you need a very long period of time to see what's going on and to have it focus into something. So what we're seeing now happened decades ago, the water table with the sand, et cetera, it all percolates through. And we've had 30 years of strong growth, and we have another 30 years ahead of us, which we can just see is even going to be more accelerated. We're hoping that you all will take to heart the CCNPs from the Delaware Center for the Inland Bays with their science and the science of all the data points from DENREC and all of the volunteer monitoring data points that coalesces little pixels into a focused picture once you look at the long-term data. It doesn't look good. I was made aware when I went 4 years ago to an emergency evacuation meeting. What would I do if, now that I'm down here in an area where you might have flooding? And they were talking about aquaculture as well. And all of the 13 tributaries were marked in red ink that you could not grow oysters there for the purpose of harvesting for human consumption. It was my first inclination that we were living in an area that was not pristine. And even now, we have in our creek, at the mouth of our creek, the Little Asalaman Wildlife Refuge. That is the only area that is posted any concerns for swimming because it's the only public access point. But we see people, we ourselves, on kayaks. We see children on skis, tubing, and whatnot. We know of a man who about our age passed away last year in Maryland in Assawoman Bay, somewhat health compromised, but nevertheless putting his boat away for the winter and got a life-threatening wound and died. And we know of other people who live in our creek who have had life flesh-eating wounds. Some of them went to Delaware hospitals, some to Maryland hospitals. But it's dangerous, and there's nothing being posted. The bacteria counts at the Old Mill Bridge Road Bridge are very high. That's the health concern for our creek and the other tributaries as well, but particularly at that point, it's very high. For the creek, its concern is the nitrogen, which is, we don't know whether it's chicken feces or whether it's failed septic systems, et cetera. But it is a concern for the creek, and we see the wetlands visibly atrophying. And when they're gone, they're not going to grow back. We ignore this at our own peril. They're what is protecting us now. So what we do now, we're at a very important impasse, and I just want to encourage you all to pay attention to what is going on with the Inland Bays organization and their recommendations. I have three quick stories to tell you of the success stories wherein communities came together in some way or another to impact their financial situation in a very positive way by adhering to the wisdom of environmental decisions. I spent a month in San Diego a couple of winters ago. There you have a grassroots group of people who are living there, who are sentient beings, they're intelligent, they're paying attention. They're living in very close proximity to each other. And you will not see a speck of lint tossed around. You don't see a disposable water bottle. You see reusable water bottles. The people there are paying attention and very environmentally concerned. That's one way, grassroots. I can't say that we really have that here. There are very few of us. Then there's another situation in Mississippi where a mayor decided to make his town healthier, losing weight, took some money and diverted it into bikeways and whatnot. And several years later, the city is in a more positive situation financially than it was before by paying attention to nature. And the third is Hilton Head Island. If any of you have been there, the population density is the same as Fenwick Island, but you wouldn't know it to look at it. In the 50s, a developer named Fraser determined that this is the way this is going to be. You're going to have this many, a maximum number of impervious surfaces. You're going to sponge with indigenous plantings and keep your toxics runoff on your property, etc. It's a mecca, and its profusion of wildlife is amazing. So I just want you all to know that we've got your back. As you have the pressure from developers to say, no, this is too expensive for us to do it this way, don't. There are those out there who would love to see you have the strength, knowing that we have your back. Particularly where development is strongest, which is right there at the Inland Bays, at the interface of the waters, to hold the line. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I add something?
You may.
I'd just like to invite everybody Friday morning, 11 o'clock at Mulberry Landing, when the Center for the Inland Bays will be releasing this report that Anna spoke about, the report about Dirksen Creek. It's just one of 13 tributaries, as she said, that feed into the Little Assawoman Bay. And then something else that's maybe a little bit off this particular subject, but very much worth consideration. Has anybody in lower Delaware looked into contacting the people of Holland, who really have this down pat? I mean, they've been battling wet feet for a lot longer than we have, and I think we could learn a lot from them. I don't know how that would even play out.
Well, that certainly sounds like a great fact-finding trip. Ms. Cornwell, if you would check the budget and see if see what's in there, I'll volunteer to go.
I think I will as well.
Anyway, just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you.
I had a question for you. I definitely will not be able to be on Friday, the last day of the legislative session, anywhere except Legislative Hall. So is there a way that you would email us this report you're talking about?
Can you make sure our office gets a copy of the report?
Yes. We will,
definitely.
Write down
the email, I'll be happy to.
Yeah, I'm sure the Inland Bays folks know. Yeah. No, they know us. If you would indicate to somebody there, Chris Basin or someone, that they would make sure that Ms. Cornwell gets a copy of it, and she'll make sure that we get it.
Yes, we get all the emails.
Yeah, if you would, please. Thank you. Thanks for coming today. Anyone else like to speak this afternoon? All right, then. We thank you all for coming, especially those of you who hung in here all day with us. My goodness, you deserve a whole lot of credit for that. That's for sure. And we appreciate all your good ideas. I've got just one other item that I want to visit just for a second. We had some discussion about the possibly in our last round of public meetings, instead of having five separate meetings, having one very large, well-publicized and well-organized barbecue, event. I've been thinking a lot about that, and I think it's something that we might want to consider. My biggest concern was that we don't want in any way for the public to feel like they have been shortchanged or anything. But just wanted to know if anyone was at least open to considering that, because I'm kind of working on what I think a format might be for that, and I'll circulate something here in the next week or so.
We talked a little bit at council maybe a month or so ago, and they were somewhat receptive to that as well. Not in detail, but just that idea. Whether we do the five we were thinking of doing originally.
Right.
Whether we do one, or maybe it's one and or two, you know, like just split the county in halves.
Well, yeah. My thought is that it would be a very definite agenda, that it would be very participative, that there would be a lot of folks involved, and this would be something that we need to talk this to staff about and so on, to make sure that we actually have enough people to do what I'm thinking of. But and it would involve having each element being represented, and having the stations like we've had before, but where somebody could go to each station, each element would be represented by a station and a knowledgeable person there. And those of us who have been involved in the creation of the plan would suggest to you that we would need to be there for this meeting to be available to help out with that effort and so on. And I also think it should involve food somehow, but just because I think good things happen when people break bread together. But anyway, if there's at least some interest in doing that, I'd like to pursue that a little further with everyone. So,
is your thought being at the point where we're done going through all the elements, so that's a meaningful.
I'm thinking that, that this would be something, once we've at least been through all the elements, so it will not be the first time that anyone's seen something. It will all have been out there, but in some ways, I think it might be more effective to do one large meeting with all hands on deck than it would be to try to do the five separate ones. So I'll just leave with that thought. Anybody else have anything for the good of the order?
That idea.
Okay.
And that's separate from the public hearing.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. This is a workshop. This is a public workshop. Yeah. It's in addition to. It's, you know, it would sort of combine the last five workshops instead of doing five little individual workshops. Doing one big one at a central, either Dell Tech or the Cheer Center or someplace that's big enough would be big enough. And we would want to have it planned well in advance so that it could be promoted and everybody would know when it was happening. So
I think the benefit of that, Mr. Chairman, is that East can meet West.
Well, the more I've thought about it, that has been in my mind as much as anything else, is to try to get this whole county together and to get everybody feeling like a county. This, you know, it's one Sussex County, you know, it's one Sussex County. So it would give us a chance to get everybody together and realize how common our interests really are. And I think that would be important. So. And the only other thing I would reiterate, I know you guys have a lot to do. You're busy. You're jammed up. But the quicker you can get these elements out to us, the better. I know it's hard as fast as these workshops are coming one on top of the other. But just, you know, we appreciate in advance your efforts to do that. Okay. Anything else for good of the order? If not, we stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing.